When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the people that bust them, the Rick Saratellas, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack. It's been a wild 48 to 72 hours in a National Football League. The Chiefs stay undefeated last night. The Cowboys are in full meltdown mode. Dennis Allen is fired in the Bayou. And, oh, yeah, the NFL trade deadline went down. There's a couple other things that are going on today, too. So, like I said, it's been a wild 48 to 72 hours. But let's start off with the Dallas Cowboys with our main man, Rick Saratella, founder of AllAccessFootball.com, the NFL Draft Bible, a scout with the Edmonton Elks. We'll get his CFL playoff predictions in a couple of minutes. But, Rick, let's start off in Dallas. It's just been a complete disaster for them this year. We kind of expected it coming into the year, to be honest. So it's all coming to fruition right now. Now Dak Prescott is hurt and is out, and the Cowboys surprised people by trading for a wide receiver in Jonathan Mingo, former second-round pick, yet they gave up a fourth-round pick. Now they're getting the Panthers' seventh-round pick back, but they essentially just gave up a fourth-round pick. And a team that you figure would say, all right, this isn't our year, let's stockpile some draft picks. Some people think it's crazy and ridiculously a stupid move by the Dallas Cowboys. But let me ask you, as a draft guru, I would counter that their thinking is that Mingo is better than a wide receiver that we would get in the fourth round. Do you agree or disagree with this? What do you think of trading that type of draft capital for Mingo?
Well, you know, I think it's a valid question, Gabe. When you get to day three of the NFL draft, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Jonathan Mingo, a former second-round pick, who I thought was a little bit raw coming out of college, but I liked his get off the line of scrimmage. I thought his route running, while it needed some enhancement, I thought he was able to create some separation. And I think it was at the East-West Shrine Game. I actually enjoyed watching him throughout the course of the week, and I think this is not just a move for this season, but a move for, you know, the future in terms of having an additional potential wide receiver to create depth, something the Cowboys are lacking at the wide receiver position. And I do think, you know, listen, for all the Jerry Jones dispute of what the media is saying in terms of it was a poor offseason, they didn't address their needs, maybe they misjudged some of these contracts, I think Jerry Jones might be feeling a little pressure here to kind of prove the naysayers wrong, so to speak. Jerry Jones is never going to quit on a season, and he's not going to quit halfway through the season. Now, Dak Prescott's going to miss some time, but remember, Cooper Rush won a lot of ball games. I think he was 4-0, 5-2 last time this incident occurred. So maybe Cooper Rush is the spark the Cowboys need, as funny as that sounds.
And of course, there's a debate there. Some people are saying, well, the season is done. And I get it. We're still, like, we're not, you know, I mean, November just started. So I understand that it isn't. But some people are saying they should play Trey Lance. But that's another story. It's always interesting, though, and it's a good point, because it sounds, oh, you gave him a fourth-round draft pick, but like you said, yeah, whatever, dude, it's the third day of the draft, right? And it's you're getting into hit-or-miss territory. And one thing the Cowboys have been good at is drafting. I think they're pretty good, like, at evaluating talent, actually, and judging players. I don't think they're good at handling free agents, and they let their linemen go, et cetera. Like, Jerry, you know, thinks, you know, the logo is bigger than the player sometimes. I get it, but... you know, there are some plus sides to it. So let's talk about another team in this division where everything is going their way, unlike the Dallas Cowboys. And I think, listen, we'll get to Za'Darius Smith to the Lions. But to me, Lattimore to the Washington Commanders is probably the most impactful deal when you consider we're talking about a 7-2 football team, Rick, with the Washington Commanders, who were ranked 21st against the pass in the National Football League. In the last 2 years, guys, in the NFL, only the Tennessee Titans have less interceptions than the Washington Commanders do. To me, the only downside with Lattimore is he has often been injured, Rick, but it's all about, are you a better team after a deal? And what do you think about the Lattimore deal to Washington?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I turned on the game the other night. Cam Curl was making all these plays for the LA Rams. He came over from the Commanders. So now, you know, that is a loss, a void that the Commanders are filling, because all of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, they're in contention with this Jaden Daniels. Unbelievable. And you, my friend Gabriel Morenci, were all over Jaden Daniels, right? It's easy to say, hindsight is 2020, but Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, you look back at it now, I mean, it's not even a question, right? But Jaden Daniels has this team contending. I think after the Detroit Lions, I have the Commanders ahead of the San Francisco 49ers. I don't care if Christian McCaffrey's been activated. I don't care if he's healthy. I think the Commanders are contenders. I think they're the real deal. I think Dan Quinn is a hell of a head coach, okay? And I think this team is a force to be reckoned with. Don't sleep on the Commanders. After the Detroit Lions, I think the Commanders are the team to beat.
Yeah, you know what? You can't say either that they're – some people think, oh, they're too young. They're not young. Jaden Daniels is young, but they're not really all that young. Austin Eckler's been in the league. Hell, Robinson's been in the league. The guy got shot in the ass, and he was back on the field a couple of weeks later, right? He's been around. McLaurin's been around. Dan Quinn's been to Super Bowls. He's been around. So it's kind of a nice mix, and also it's a challenge. I do think that Jaden Daniels, I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves a ton of credit for it, for just pushing the right buttons, right? Like, it's you know, it's sort of a package deal with them, but it really has worked out. So speaking of the Detroit Lions, man, what a big win for them against the Green Bay Packers. And Dan Campbell said after the game, he goes, you know, I hope this silenced some of our critics out there that said that we couldn't play outdoors in bad weather. And he said, we're a tough football team. We can play in any weather. And I was one of those people. I brought it up, but I'm not saying they can't. But Jared Goff over the years and the Lions over the years haven't been a great cold weather team. He hasn't been a great cold or bad weather quarterback. He's been better as of late, but they go into Green Bay in bad weather, at least early season bad weather. And they are a physical-ass football team, the Detroit Lions. Like, they look like it's Super Bowl or bust right now. They're the best team in the NFC.
This is a complete team. They are built to go far. I think for some of the faults that Dan Campbell has in terms of game management, maybe second half adjustments, if you want to criticize the man, sure, I get it. But when you look at the entire body of work, when you look at the coaches surrounding him that he's empowered to do one heck of a coaching job all around, I mean, on the offense and defensive side, there's continuity, there's chemistry. You look at the locker room post-game speeches, you see a team ready to run through a brick wall for this man. So there's a little bit of CEO delegation, but when you're talking about 2024 motivation, that is today's NFL, being able to motivate the modern-day athlete. And I think Dan Campbell does as good a job as anybody. In fact, he is one of the last coaches in the NFL from the Bill Parcells tree. Sean Payton is from that tree. But when you talk about knowing which buttons to click and how to motivate different types of personalities, I think Dan Campbell's that dude, man.
I can't disagree. And, you know, listen, he went through growing pains. Remember in his early years, there were a lot of ridiculous calls. And what the hell? You just were running a fake punt from your own 30 and it didn't work. But they stockpiled draft picks. They did a great job just how to build. Like, people should sort of copy how the Lions did it. And in fact, you know who's copying how the Lions did it? Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, right? People always want, like, flashy picks right away and stuff. And remember, it's like, the Lions drafted offensive linemen, defensive linemen. It was all about, like, just sort of building the foundation. And we'll get the, you know, we'll build the protection, and then we'll get the quarterback after, and then we'll do this after, and, like, then we'll get the skill positions after, as opposed to teams that are all sort of, oh, I don't know, like the New York Giants. Oh, let's get Malik Nabers. You got a million problems, guys. All right, we're going with a wide receiver, the luxury item, right? The sort.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Business, and on a weekly basis, Rick, we've been keeping people informed of the updated odds for the number one pick in the National Football League draft. And for the first month or whatever, it was Beck and it was Ewers, and both me and Rick were like, this is crazy. It's not going to be Beck. It's not going to be Ewers. It's going to be the top pick of the draft. I was saying it's going to be Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders now plus 300, guys, to be the top pick of the draft. He is the runaway favorite right now, plus 300. The second choice is Cam Ward, Miami Hurricanes. Cam Ward, plus 600. And the third choice is Travis Hunter at plus 650. Now, we'll have a lot of time to debate, you know, the quarterbacks head-to-head and all that type of stuff, Rick. But the fact of the matter is, and you and I have been talking about this, there's a legitimate possibility that there's going to be a team with the number one pick of the draft that doesn't want a quarterback. The Patriots love Drake May. They're not taking a quarterback. The Patriots could have the number one pick of the draft. The Jags just paid Trevor Lawrence a lot of money, and I don't see any other teams wanting to eat this contract right now. So they're kind of stuck with him. They could have the second pick in the draft. Hell, the New Orleans Saints owe Carr like 50 next year and 28 the year after. They're in salary cap hell. They would have the third pick right now. Then you get into the Carolina Panthers, the Cleveland Browns. It's a pretty interesting scenario playing out right now for the draft, Rick.
Yeah, and I think the most fascinating situation, Gabe, is monitoring Shedeur Sanders, because we know Deion Sanders, his father, Primetime, is going to manage that situation. And just kind of reading the tea leaves, what's been said in the past, what's been said this week by Shedeur, an 8-figure NIL deal could keep me in Boulder. So could Primetime parlay that into a wish list, knowing that New England or Jacksonville doesn't really need a quarterback? Well, does he have a wish list? Is there only certain teams that...
Oh, there's no doubt there's going to be drama, Rick. But let me tell you one thing. There was a video that popped up yesterday of Shedeur Sanders telling his teammates that he won't be back, just for the record. Now, it wasn't like an official speech, like, oh, I'm declaring or anything like that. But he said, like, it was point blank. And he said, man, after our last game, you weren't ever going to see me around here ever again. right? So, you know, he was throwing that out there. But let me throw this out there, too, with Shador. And this is the thing, and I agree with you, Rick. There's going to be baggage here. They're gonna like, not want to play for certain teams. And Shador Sanders, every time the Raiders lose, somebody discovered that he tweets out, "The Lord is great." Like, he's basically, I've never seen this. Like, he wants the Raiders to lose games. And, you know, honestly, this kid's born to be a Las Vegas Raider. So let's call it out for what it is, right?
You know, and it's funny because I just saw Ernie Accorsi at the Burt Bell statue unveiling. And Ernie Accorsi dealt with not only the man behind me, the John Elway trade scenario with Baltimore and Denver, but also the Eli Manning situation when Eli refused to play for the Chargers. And I remember we talked about this. Dion didn't want to play for the Giants because they weren't picking inside the top five. And the Giants could wind up with the number one pick. So now could Dion parlay an eight-figure NIL deal against saying, "Hey, you know what, Giants, if you stay at number one, we're not coming. We'll go back for our eight-figure NIL deal." But to me, Cam Ward is the number one quarterback in the NFL draft, just in terms of being that Jaden Daniels ability to take you from worst to first. I think Shador is very good. I think Shador, they're like 1A and 1B. I prefer Cam Ward. Ironically enough, Colorado could wind up with the number one and number two overall picks because Travis Hunter, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, is the best value in this year's draft. And if I was the Jaguars or the Patriots, I would stand right there, number one, and take Travis Hunter. So to me, that's the best player.
Yeah, I think Travis Hunter to the Patriots, let's just say hypothetically it is the Patriots. That's, you already have the quarterback. You're getting a DB and a wide receiver with one pick, Rick. Like, why? Like, isn't it a no-brainer almost? It's like, even if you're going to get offered trades, you'd be like, yeah, but we're still not going to have Travis Hunter after this then, right? Unless it's like the second pick or the, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? If they know for sure, okay, but they can't risk that because, like you said, Jacksonville could come in. They're Jacksonville stuck with Trevor Lawrence, right? And then we talk about the Saints situation. I think they'll probably just say, screw it. We got to, you know, unless someone eats Carr's contract, we'll roll out Spencer Rattler. Carr will get hurt and we'll play. I don't know. The Saints are a mess, bro. They got serious cap issues. You got to believe the Panthers are moving on from Bryce Young, right? Yes. So, you know, they're fourth right now, technically, right? So, but I, you know what? I do think there'll be drama with Shador, but I do agree with you on this sense, too. What I've been saying, I like Shador a lot, but I think teams will end up going with, I think Cam Ward is a good bet at 6-1 to be the top pick, along with Travis Hunter.
I think it's a great pick, and I think, you know, as we get closer to the draft, we'll continue to see these odds fluctuate, but we shall see.
Oh, we got a lot of time. Yeah, we still have a lot of time for the draft. So I always got to remember, I'm like, man, I got to bet this. I got to put this much on. I'm like, dude, you're not going to get paid for this until, like, the last weekend of, like, April. You got to remember this. So, yeah, man, I just got to remember that. All right, so we only got about a minute here, actually, unfortunately, Rick. So CFL playoffs, man, the Argos exploded last week. Hung 58 on Ottawa. We have a great game in Montreal coming up. Toronto at Montreal. The game's a near pick 'em. Montreal are two-point favorites. And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Rick, the staple of the West, bro. Six straight Western Finals for the Bombers hosting the Riders. Who you got this weekend?
I feel confident in the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I do think they will prevail, and I like what Toronto is doing right now. I think they're clicking at the right time. It's going to be a hell of a matchup there in Montreal, but give me Toronto and Winnipeg in the Grey Cup out there in your backyard, baby.
And, of course, Rick was a scout with the Edmonton Elks this year. There's new president. There's some enthusiasm. The season ended strong in Edmonton, so hopefully the positive vibes continue into next season. You had a great cup. The Grey Cup is coming up next week. Not this Sunday, but the following Sunday in Vancouver. But unfortunately, last year at the Grey Cup, they had Green Day play at halftime. This year, it's the Jonas Brothers. So I guess that's the time, Rick, I'm going to step out and reload my drinks. Right? Well, the Jonas Brothers are rocking. Rick Saratella, follow him on Twitter.
That might have been what led to Randy Ambrose's resignation.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pits, the Players, the Hustlers, the People, the Bus, them, and everybody else in between. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us. So it's a pretty tense night tonight. America is on edge waiting for the decision, and we have the decision. We have the results are in right now. The Miami, Ohio won 27-21 against Ball State.
Ball State covers.
There's the results that everybody needed, Cam. That's, you know what, you need other results. Go tune into another show right now. 27-21 final score. But I'll tell you what, Cam, the total was exactly 48 in this game. So the total was exactly 48, and I'll often buy a point or something, knowing, or half a point, like, you know what, I want to move it a little bit here. I didn't hear it was a clean 48, so I get to push with the total, but I win with Ball State plus 12 in the game. And, of course, Central Michigan were the first ones up here tonight against Bowling Green. And Central Michigan get the cover, 23-13. Yep. Game stays under the number. But they get the cover. Bowling Green wins 23-13, 10-point win. Central Michigan covers the number. So both dogs cover tonight. Yep. in the Maction. As far as college basketball is concerned, I don't middle games often, guys. I always talk about it. Like, the other night we didn't do it with the Chief game even. I did it tonight just because the number was so big. I laid 40 with Sacramento State against California Maritime, the Torchers. And I saw the point spread up to 61.5. It was 62.5, but when I clicked it, they gave it to me at 61.5. I was like, man, they're not up by that much, right? It's 73-26 right now, so they're up by 47. So we're comfortably covering.
What's your live line?
It's 54.5 right now.
Yeah, it's weird because mine's always a little bit under. I got 52.5. I don't understand why it's always a basket under. 131.5 your total?
Yeah, 131.5. But it's 73-28 right now. And so they're pulling away a little bit as far as the 40 is concerned. But I don't know if they're going to be able to get to 62. And I don't think they're going to even care about getting to 62. Like, they are drilling them right now. So I'm looking in the middle of this one, although I'm going to lose the over. I bet over 143 in this game. The in-game total is 131.5. Not only are UC Davis hanging, UC Davis have taken a lead. UC Davis getting 15.5, and we took them in-game plus 18.5. They're winning 45-43 at Washington right now. Huskies are currently minus 5.5, 290 on the money line. And here's an upset in the making in which I lay 20 with the Dons. Dude, they're losing as well. They're losing as 20-point favorites, 57-56 right now to Cal Poly Slow. We're also on the over the game, so we're looking for the split here at least, over 153, and it's 159.5 right now in game. The Dons are currently minus 220 on the money line. I don't think they're going to lose this game. They're going to come back and win. UC Davis is the other one that's a little shakier, though. I was going to say, you know, San Francisco, Washington, Moneyline Parlay right now is plus 103, but I wouldn't be surprised if UC Davis actually beat the Washington Huskies. They've got, like, returning players. They're not bad, this team. They're a competitive team. That conference is better than people give it credit for as well. NHL hockey cam, the Canucks are now up 3-1 on the Ducks after spotting them a goal. We jumped in on the Canucks when they were minus 120, now 1-0. I also am already on them, minus 1.5, plus 100. Canucks are now minus 1,800 on the money line, Cam.
Craziness. I still think the Canucks are going to win by multiple goals, Gabe. And also with McInnes, we took the over 5.5. So we got 4 goals right now. The live is 6.5 with juice to the 60 cents to the over. And I got this under live Columbus 5.5, Gabe. It's down to 4.5, still scoreless going into the second period, Jackets and Sharks.
Yeah, the game that was $5 to get into in San Jose tonight is living up to the hype. Scoreless after the first period of play.
No entertainment.
In-game total is now 4.5. So the college football playoff rankings came out tonight. You know, we don't want to look too ahead into the future here. It's cool to see the bracket and stuff. And, hey, Notre Dame at Penn State would be a pretty crazy playoff game. But with that being stated, the first rankings are never the last rankings. And a lot of football left to be played, but I thought it'd be cool. We'll take a look at the college football futures on the other side. Loud Esmond's going to step up, and then we'll talk some college football, NFL football. We'll see what he's got up his sleeve. He's actually in Washington. We'll see what he thinks about the Washington Husky game against UC Davis. And now that the college football playoff rankings are out for the record, Ohio State are the favorites to win, plus 320. Georgia plus 350, the Ducks plus 425.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cal Poly slow. Up 62-56 right now on the San Francisco Dons. Big time upset in the making. San Francisco were 20.5 point favorites in this game. I laid the points too, but I'm also on the over, so we could get the split. I got over 153. In-game totals 156.5, 62-56 left. 8.5 minutes left. And whenever you're talking about totals in these games, fouls are always the big key. And there's been a ton of fouls here, so teams are going to be shooting free throws in this basketball game, so we should be able to get there. We'll see if the Dons can come back. San Francisco are now plus 100. And we hooked up with Loud Asman a couple of weeks ago in Seattle. I guess it was last week. Time flies. The Buffalo Bills at a Seattle Seahawks game, and we saw him over at the sports book after, except I did not know this. We just learned this tonight about our boy Loud Asman. He actually went to UC Davis, and they're in action tonight in the state of Washington against the Washington Huskies. How you doing tonight, Loud?
I'm doing great. I'm undergrad at St. Mary's, the Gales, but I got my master's degree at UC Davis.
Nice.
All right. So, yeah, we jumped in. I got a master's degree on money tonight on UC Davis, taking them plus the points. So tonight I'm a student.
Yeah,
like tonight, yeah, I'm a UC Davis Aggie tonight.
Yeah, and you're going to make more money on that bet than I ever made because I have a master's degree from UC Davis.
Cold world, Loud Asman, well done. Well played. So, yeah, 48-46. You see, the thing is, they got this kid, Ty Johnson. Real, like, he's a big-time talent, this player. Like, it could be in the NBA type of deal. I know there's a lot of college kids that are good, but and they're not NBA talent, but this kid's good. And he's single-handedly keeping him in this basketball game. He's a fun player to watch play, so it was kind of a unique situation tonight. Washington have a new coach. They got, like, 3-4 new players. They got a bunch of, like, really tall dudes and stuff, athletic dudes, but they're not great shooters. You know, they'll probably grind out the win here, but I thought the point spread was too high. They're still laying 3.5, even though they're down a 2 spot right now. And the Dons have already cut the lead to 1 here, so they just went from plus 100 to minus 230. Loud, I brought up, I know you like to bet the midweek college football games. I don't know if you touch the MAC games tonight, but both dogs cover, and we get a push with one total, and one of them goes under tonight. So welcome back, MAC football.
Yeah, I had the under in that game that went under, and I didn't have any action on the other game. But, you know, I've taken it upon myself to sort of break down all these midweek games, and we've got Wednesday night action coming back. Ohio Bobcats, Kent State Golden Flashes. The Flashes, not doing very well. They rarely do. Lost to Western. No, they're pretty bad all the time, but they're particularly bad this year. They lost to Western Michigan 52-21 in their last time out. Prior to that, they lost to Bowling Green, Ball State, Eastern Michigan. They only score about 20 points a game, but their defense is actually the weakness of the team. They're allowing almost 47 points per game. Also, Kent State has seen a ton of injuries, notably at the quarterback position. They're going to be without their first and second string quarterbacks, who both suffered season-ending injuries. The QB playing is third string Tommy Ulatowski, whose completion percentage in the games that he has played this year, I think this will be his third start, is 42%. So he's not exactly lighting things up. Ohio, however, has won three of their last four games. They hung 47 on Buffalo last week. And you know what? I am just going to take the over on this game because, you know, scoring 47 on Buffalo, they might score 52, 53 themselves. And that number is 52.5. If we can get 10, 14 points out of the Golden Flashes, I think this game probably very comfortably goes over.
52.5. Any thoughts on the Northern Illinois game and Western Michigan? Northern Illinois had that, you know, massive upset win against Notre Dame, but when they got back into conference play, they started losing games after. So they're sort of been hit or miss. But as far as quality is concerned, this is the best game out of the four, the TV games, right? I mean, both these teams are sort of quality MAC programs. Northern Illinois, 1.5-point road favorites over Western Michigan on the road. 52 loud is the total here. Same total, pretty much.
Yeah, like you said, the Huskies started out, they looked very good. They got the signature win over Notre Dame, which I'm a Notre Dame fan. I watched that whole game, and it really was mostly bad Notre Dame. The offense just wasn't clicking. The quarterback couldn't find receivers. He obviously wasn't comfortable with the offensive system yet and was struggling in that game. And Notre Dame just couldn't score. It wasn't like Northern Illinois did anything fantastic. They just weren't very good. So after those wins season over Western Illinois and Notre Dame, things have fallen apart for them. Losses to Buffalo, North Carolina. Then they win a couple, UMass, Bowling Green, and then they fall two games, Toledo and Ball State. Now, over on the Western Michigan side, they lost three of their first four games, but they were playing really much better competition. Wisconsin, Ohio State, Marshall, and then they beat lowly Bethune-Cookman. But then they went on a run, beating Ball State, Akron, Buffalo, and, well, we already talked about how bad the Kent State Golden Flashes are, so we're not going to give them much credit for that game. But interestingly, Northern Illinois has failed to cover the spread in each of its last four games as a favorite. And in each of Western Michigan's last five November games as an underdog against non-AP-ranked teams, those games have gone under. Northern Illinois likes to keep the ball, take the air out of the ball, to use a basketball parlance, and they hold on to the ball a lot, 33 minutes per game. They're eighth in time of possession, but they're only scoring 19 points per game, but their defense is really good, and they only allow 18. So the pick here for me in this game is under the number of 52.5, because NIU just doesn't score. They slow the game down. And they've got a really good defense.
Loud Esmond kicking it with us. Thursday Night Football, we actually have a good NFL game this week on Thursday Night Football with the Bengals and the Ravens. We'll hit a little NFL on the other side. But App State and Coastal Carolina are on Thursday. FAU at East Carolina. Friday slate is a little bit more interesting. Cal at Wake Forest, Iowa, UCLA, Rice, Memphis, New Mexico, San Diego State. And I'll tell you what, the Iowa-UCLA game is intriguing. UCLA are a scrappy team. They're 3-5. They've had a very, very difficult schedule. And, you know, people, oh, they're going to be terrible and they suck. Well, they're 3-5, but they're 5-3 against the spread, right? They're in football games. And a crazy stat that people wouldn't really realize, they think, oh, Iowa are such an under team. 8-1 to the over, Loudon Cam. Mm-hmm. 8-1 to the over, right. The Iowa Hawkeyes this year. They've been an over machine. And I tell you what, UCLA haven't won a home game yet. They're actually 3-2. All of their wins are on the road. You got a Friday night game at the Rose Bowl. UCLA feel pretty good about themselves right now. They're coming off of wins at Rutgers and at Nebraska. I think they go home, Loud. I like UCLA plus the 5.5, and I'm going to play into the total here. Dude, it's 44.5, and with an Iowa team, it's 8-1 to the over. I'm going with the UCLA Bruins plus 5.5, and I'm going over to 44.5 in that game.
One of my longtime employees is a big UCLA fan, and he was just lamenting to me how bad UCLA was earlier in the year. Now, of course, he's on the top of the world recently. I'm with you in terms of not necessarily the points with UCLA, but definitely on the over. People and the books just haven't caught up yet with the fact that Iowa has an offense. So I think that
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
That's a very good call there.
Yeah, they do. Like I said, they do have an offense, and the odds makers, you know, the totals used to be 35.5 and 37.5, etc., but still manageable numbers in Iowa Hawkeye games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network. So I don't want to put too much into these college football rankings. As I stated, like the first rankings are never the last rankings. Most of these teams, a lot of these teams are going to end up playing each other again and or whatever. There's going to be there's still a shuffle to come here along the way. But nevertheless, it's interesting to see what the committee came up with and to see the correlated updated odds right now for this. So the Ducks are the one seed. Georgia, the 2 seed, Miami, the 3 seed, and BYU would be the 4 seed. BYU are interesting to keep your eye on, guys. They're really good and are undefeated. They're super impressive, this team. But the Colorado Buffaloes are lurking, all right? Like, the Buffaloes have a legitimate chance, like, to get to the Big 12 championship game, and they would make the playoff point blank. You win a Big 12, you're in the playoffs. And, you know, and all you need to know, people would think, no way the Buffaloes are in the mix here. Well, the Buffaloes are ranked 20th, all right? So you'll have to be in the top 12. They're ranked 20th. So there's hope for Dion and company. Very fascinating to see. But some of these games would be super cool, like just to see them, all right, first-round playoff matches on campus, we should note. So they're on the road. Boise State at Ohio State. Indiana at Tennessee. The Indiana Hoosiers would be in the playoffs if it started this weekend. Alabama at Texas in a playoff game. And Loud, you talked about being a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. As of right now, Notre Dame are in the 10 spot, and their schedule is super manageable. So they're going to get in. Notre Dame are going to get in, and they would go on the road because they'd have a lower seed than everybody. As it is now, Loud, Notre Dame at Penn State in a potential playoff game with the winner playing the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, I give Notre Dame a really good chance of winning that game because the Penn State seems to never be able to win the big one. And so, you know,
I thought the same thing. I'm thinking, you know what, I think Notre Dame could go in there and win. But you know what, Marcus Freeman has never won the big one either. So it goes both ways.
No, agreed. But, you know, the interesting thing to me looking at all of this is those first round buys, those teams are being so protected by the committee. They still want, you know, 4 marquee teams in that thing. And when it gets there, I think we're going to see a lot of people, a lot of teams get beat, and those top four move on. They get that extra week of rest. They get extra time to prep. The other team has to go on and play. I just think it's going to be really difficult.
Well, you're right. It's a dream TV, and it's all about TV. College football is always about TV. Right. It's always been that way when it comes to like the BCS, the college. Like, it comes into play, all right. How big of a brand? But you're bang on. If you think about it, if you had Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, and the Miami Hurricanes, and you got BYU lingering, but don't think for a second the network isn't praying that Colorado could get in there. You imagine if you had the Deion Sanders Colorado Buffaloes against the Miami Hurricanes in a freaking playoff game? I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of crazy scenarios that could happen here and play out. Boise State are in, though, as of right now. They're controlling their own destiny. So, like, if Boise State just went out here, they will definitely be in the playoffs, but they're going to have to go on the road, so it won't be easy. I don't know if there's anything else. I brought up the UCLA game. I really haven't started to cap college football on Saturday yet. We were caught up Monday Night Football, college basketball tonight. Everything else is going on. Anything else college football you want to hit loud before we move on to the NFL?
Yeah, just a couple of quick other things. Thursday night, FAU, ECU Pirates, FAU Owls. Interesting contrast here. East Carolina is very good at home. The Owls struggle on the road. They've dropped four straight road games. ECU is good on offense and bad on defense. They score almost 30 a game. They give up around 30 a game. FAU scores less at only 21 points per game, but they give up even more at 33. So we have a trend here, which is teams that can score some but can't stop anybody else from scoring. Now, that's why I'm sort of wanted to go to the over. But the other thing in this game is FAU is really one-dimensional on offense. They don't throw the ball well, so that's going to allow ECU to just stack the box against the run, which is the one thing that they do well. And though East Carolina isn't particularly good against the run, with no threat of the pass, they're going to bring the safeties down. There's going to be eight or nine guys in the box. And I just think ECU, with the better offense, eventually pulls away and covers this 7.5. And then the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, they're averaging 30.9 points per game. They're taking on App State in what now is a pick'em. App State scores about 27 points a game. But again, this is a trend here. Both teams allow even more points on defense, 32 and 34 respectively. So if they each give up as many points as they normally do, this number goes to 66 between the two of them. So I'm leaning to the over here of 61.5, but watch the weather. It may be raining heavily where this game is being played in Coastal Carolina, and if it is, you might want to hold off on that over bet.
Loud has been kicking with us. Loud, Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens on Thursday Night Football. We've only got a couple of minutes with you here, about 1.5 minutes left. Ravens and Bengals Thursday spread is 6.53, a pretty high total right now. That's the Thursday night game. Steelers Commanders is a cool one this week. We've got a couple interesting games. Anything catch your eye in the NFL this week?
Yeah, it's interesting. The Baltimore averages 28 points per game, Cincinnati 21. This opened at 47.5 as the over-under number and has shot to 53. Now, I looked this up, and Thursday night football games score about the same average as every other game in the NFL, about 46 points is the average per game. No real weather to worry about here. Both teams play to the over. The public bettors know this. They also know the last time these two teams played, it went way over. That game was 41-38 for a final total of 79 points. And prisoner of the moment, the Bengals just hung 41 on the Raiders. And the Ravens hung 41 on the Broncos last Sunday. So everybody in the world is on the over in this game.
High total.
That's why I'm going to take the under.
Loud Esmond, where can people find you, Loud?
Where'syourwriters.com and steer the line.
Loud Esmond in the house.
Mm-hmm.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pitch, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. I got to tell you, everybody, Twitter is quite the experience right now. And it has nothing to do with the Maxion or the NFL trade deadline or anything else. I'm sort of tuned out. For me, it was just all about a bunch of wagers and stuff like that. So I'm sort of like, you know, I wish there was more college basketball games going on right now because we did so well. I can't believe that Cal Maritime and Sacramento State went over the number because California Maritime weren't scoring enough for it to happen, but Sacramento State just didn't stop scoring and they ended up going over the number because of Sacramento State. They easily covered the 40.5. They won by 62 and the game goes over the number. Cal Poly were getting 20.5 against San Francisco. They were up. The Dons have come back. It's 82-76 right now. The game went over the number to 153.5. There's only 48 seconds left, so Cal Poly's going to cover. But it looks like the Dons are going to escape with the W. They're up 82-76 right now with 37 seconds and counting. Meanwhile, in Seattle, the Washington Huskies getting all they can handle from UC Davis, but they've come back, Cam. As yep. expected, like I said, the parlay was plus 104 for both of them to come back. I think Washington will probably end up winning this game, but it's only a one-point game with 5 minutes left.
You said it, but they've always been within one possession. That's the thing. Like UC Davis goes up a couple, Washington now up one. It's been back and forth, but really, really tight. I'm not sure if anybody's going to pull away, but I agree. Washington will probably win this game by like 4 or 5 points.
The Vancouver Canucks are up on the Ducks right now, NHL hockey. So no NBA tonight, obviously. The Canucks are up 3-1. They're minus 25-1 on the money line, minus 2,500. The total right now in-game is 6.5. Over 6.5 is plus 110. Under 6.5 is minus 140. You figure, look, they're at 4 right now. My guess is they probably – my prediction before the game, if you remember, I said I think Vancouver are going to win 4-2. It's 3-1 right now. Anaheim will pull a goalie if they're down in this range. You got to believe there's going to be another two goals here. I don't know if they get to 7, though. I didn't bet the total, but I'm not sure they get to 7 here, Cam. I think the Canucks are going to tighten up here in the third period. I'm not sure the Ducks score. You know, I mean, maybe they do, but I think they'll end up pulling their goalie, too. But for bettors out there right now, I haven't pulled the trigger. You know, I always tell you if I'm going to bet it. I haven't bet it, but I'm thinking about it here. Under 6.5 is minus 140 right now. And in Columbus and San Jose, Cam, we're still waiting for the first goal of the game. 6 minutes left in the second period. Yeah, all I need is Celebrini to get a point.
Yeah, well, that's 0-0. You need somebody to score. Damn, they're paying $2 and getting no goals. I like Vancouver, Gabe. If it stays 3-1, maybe Anaheim will pull with like 4 or 5 minutes left down a couple goals. And the minus 2.5 is 50 cents, but I lean that way. I think Vancouver might win this game like 4-1, but I still think they can win by 3 goals.
Yeah, I've got a minus 2.5 is minus 150 right now. This one could work out. We read it pretty good, like in the sense that we were on a Vancouver Canucks minus 1.5 at plus 100 before they dropped the puck. Anaheim scored right away, but we didn't get scared off by it. We said, all right, we'll jump in on Vancouver minus 120 money line. And as it is now, it's working out for us. They're up 3-1. So we got more college football tomorrow, and then we'll get into the NFL. NFL trade deadline went down. It's a crazy time of the year. The World Series is done, but now the college football playoff talk gets real. And now that we're into November, these NFL games really start to count a little bit more. College basketball is back. We got another sport in the rotation, and it's really cool to have it back. I love this late night West Coast stuff. In fact, we gave you 5 picks tonight for college basketball. We posted them. And we go 4-1. And I went 2-0, Cam. I took New Orleans plus the points against K-State. Oh, yeah. And I took New Orleans, K-State over the number, and I won them both. So a nice, robust 6-1 college basketball tonight.
Very impressive. Yeah, and so far on the ice, things have been good. Let's end it strong with the Vancouver Canucks when they're down a goal. So, yeah, a nice, beautiful night on both the hardwood and the ice so far, Morenci. Beautiful stuff.
So, tune in tomorrow. I'll be on the Pharrell Show. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll have a bunch of picks for all the action. Tomorrow night, we'll keep it rolling. Now the college basketball is back. Great stuff. The Wicked Wednesday is always a great show. And for the record, there's a full slate of college basketball tomorrow. Not a bunch of big-time teams, but there's a bunch of games. My Vermont Catamounts are at Auburn. Vermont at Auburn after Vermont gets it done at UAB. Can they keep it rolling in the state of Alabama? Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.